All right. Good morning, everyone. A number of weeks ago, Pastor asked me if I could preach for him, and he gave me the scriptures to preach on. It is 1 Samuel chapter 18 to 29. Thinking over my ministerial experience, I preached on a chapter, I preached on a section, I preached on a word a couple of times. 12 chapters, you might not get the full thing here this morning, but we'll work on it. This section that we're going to look at today in David's life is, it's just after he kills Goliath. And then it goes up to just before Saul dies, the king. And so that's those 12 chapters. That's what we're going to look at. 9 of the chapters, David is running for his life, basically. And so that's kind of the emphasis of this section. Saul wants to kill him. But in this, we can look at David's example. And grow, see what he did and how we can apply the truth to our lives and grow through trials and difficulties. David is our example this morning. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, bless your word today. Lord, touch us where we're at. We're all at different places. Different struggles, different difficulties, and different situations. But Lord, you have a way of coming in right where we are and personally touching that situation, touching our lives, changing us. Lord, change us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Israel's first king was Saul. He reigned 42 years. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over the people of Israel, so listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy them all that belongs to them. Okay, so Samuel the prophet's telling Saul, destroy the Amalekites for what they did to Israel. Saul did defeat them, but he did not totally obey what he was supposed to do. He did not totally destroy them, as he was told. He kept some of the plunder, and he kept the king alive, King Agag, alive after the battle. And so Saul does not disobey. He disobeys God's direction for his life. Samuel also said to Saul, you have not kept the command of the Lord, your God, that the Lord gave you. If you had, you would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought for a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of the people because you have not kept the command. Another is going to be king. The Lord directs Samuel the prophet to Bethlehem, to Jesse and his family. One of his sons would be anointed king. It would be the youngest son. It'd be David. And so in 1 Samuel 16, it says, then the Lord said to Samuel, arise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So, here we're going to talk about Saul here, we're going to talk about David, we're going to talk about their hearts. After David defeated Goliath with a stone in his sling, And as the men were coming back home from the defeat of Goliath, the Bible says in chapter 18, it says, when the men were returning home after David and killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing and joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. Saul realizes that he's not getting the credit, he's not getting the attention, he's not getting the honor David is. And so he instantly becomes angry. And it's an anger that's burning, it's hotly emotional, and it's raging. Saul's attitude is fueled by his jealousy and his envy, and it quickly becomes an uncontrollable rage. Saul's heart is deeply affected. Saul becomes obsessed with killing David, and these 12 chapters, you'll see, if you sit down and read them, you'll see that. Saul's heart is tested again and again and again. And Saul fails again and again and again. God sees and knows the heart. In 1 Samuel 16, it says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God weighs the heart and sees a person's potential and character. God weighs the things that are really important. When God weighed Saul's heart, he found it was corrupted, selfish, and fleshly. As we look at David, though, we see a difference. In 1 Samuel 13, Samuel said to Saul, but now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of the people. Israel notices David's successes. The people were beginning to be drawn to David. But David's heart, we will see, is tested again and again throughout this journey. There's a period here of about 10 years before he gets past this and Saul dies. David is successful in the tests again and again, most of the time, we'll say. And God weighed David's heart. And it was a heart that was longing and desiring for God. If we're going to get through difficult times, we got to have that kind of heart. And as I study this chapter over the last number, these chapters over the last number of weeks, I can tell you David would have never made it without having that kind of heart. And so God, give us a heart after your heart, please, Lord. When we walk with God and walk the path of life, there's a choice that we have to make at times. When difficulties come, it's like there's a fork in the road. And we need to consider what we want to do. We need to consider choose which way. When difficulties come, we can grow in the difficult time, or we can choose not to. Or we can be apathetic, which in essence is we choose not to. Decisions made and attitudes harbored in the heart determine our path ahead. Many of David's difficulties were opportunities to grow in character and leadership. And if you read these chapters, you will say, well, I hope I never have to go through that. But God can use everything to help us grow to be more like him. David's example is helpful for anyone dealing with difficulties and wanting to grow in character during difficult times. David was a man after God's own heart. It is God he trusts in for his guidance and help. David's God is the very same God you and I can trust today, my friends, when difficulties invade our lives. Life challenges were David's opportunities to grow during the difficulties. Let's look at some of these difficulties. You're not going to get them all. When I originally did this, my sermon was 11 pages long, and I had to chop about half of it out. So you're not going to get everyone here, but let's start here. First of all, there was attempts on that undermined David, his life. One of them was in 1 Samuel 18, we see right away, right after they get home from the battle, after David defeats the Goliath, the next day, Saul takes his spear to try to kill David. And David eludes him twice. So Saul's attempting to murder David right away. Then Saul uses everything at his disposal, so he takes his oldest daughter, Merab. Oh, maybe she can be a trouble. And I will not raise my hand against him. I'll give Merab for him to marry, and she'll be a snare. Boy, that's a great way to think of your kids, isn't it? Send them off, get them, you know, kind of thing. Then the youngest daughter, Michal, the same thing, to bring about David's demise. Saul thought to himself, so she may be a snare to him so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wow. So when you get to the point that Saul was, it's like you want to win. You want to get him. And all the morals and everything get thrown out the window. Saul wants to kill David, get rid of him. So after Michal she falls in love with David, Saul thinks, well, a bride price. Let's get a bride price here. If you give me 100 foreskins, Philistine foreskins, David, you can marry my daughter. And he comes back with 200. So he married Michal. So now think about all these intents that Saul had to undermine David. What would be your natural reactions to all those things? Fear? Uncertainty? You feel manipulated? You feel betrayed? You feel like you're being blamed for something you didn't do? You feel unappreciated? You feel misunderstood? Threats of death? Relationship snares? Jealousy, envy, anger were all used against David. But it was these negative situations that became opportunities to grow. That's the first one. Now, the second one, meeting needs of the group that was under him. David went to Elimelech the priest. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 21, where he goes to Elimelech the priest and he asks for help, asks for provisions. David was faced with multiple needs to bring protection, provision, necessities to the men that were under him and their families. Remember that he was a fugitive. These were fugitives and they had no support. What would be your natural reaction to this? Maybe you're lacking faith or lacking trust in God. God, help me, provide for me. So David asked Elimelech for help. And lacking provisions is an opportunity to building godly character and faith. A third area where David grew in is the group that gathered around him. We're going to put that up here. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. This is the group that David got here. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. Okay, now let's think this through a bit here. If you were to form a group and put together a group, would you look for the distressed, the ones in debt, and the discontented? You probably would not ask them to be a part of that. But David built a team with the three Ds, I call them, distress, debt, and discontent. People that were struggling, people that were in debt, people that were just stressed out. Those were the ones that came to David. That's what God gave him. These men needed to be elevated to a level of the leaders and warriors they would become. David invests in them. He teaches them. He trains them. He disciples them. He leads them. God gives us everything we need one step at a time. What is needed for the next step is available to us. Sometimes we just feel we don't have anything, but that's not true. God has given us enough for one step. We just need to discover what we have to make that step with. David develops these men, the three Ds, and they become warriors and heroes of Israel. If you want to read a list of them, they're in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. There's 33 of these men are listed there. David takes them from distress, debt, and discontent, and they become men of valor. God can take us as well in our struggles and difficulties and make us a shining Christian testimony to others around us. Okay, number five, David grows in leading people. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23, we read, when David was told, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floors, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? The Lord answered to him, go attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, here in Judah we are afraid. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces? Once again, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him, go down to Keilah, for I am going to give the Philistines into your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah, fought the Philistines, and carried off their livestock. He inflicted heavy losses on the Philistines and saved the people of Keilah. Okay, so David received direction, go to Keilah, and attack the Philistines, save the city. But David's men weren't there. They were afraid. The Philistines were really known as vicious, warriors. And they were to be feared. And so this fear that these men were having, basically all the nations around had that fear as well. So David goes and he prays again. And I'm sure he prayed in front of them all, Lord, give us direction here. God said, go, I'm going to give you the Philistines. And there's just, through that interaction, David is affirmed, And the men are assured that, oh, with God's help, I can do this. And they go down and they attack the Philistines. And they save Keilah. So in that instance, Dave is leading people and they're growing into the people that God is calling them to be. The last instance I will use here of an example is a man named Nabal. And he was wealthy. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He had a beautiful wife, intellectual wife. Her name was Abigail. But Nabal, he was a harsh and evil man when he dealt with people. David and his men guarded Nabal's men, the sheep, the goats, and there were not any losses. Which, now, we just talked about Keilah. The Philistines were raiding and taking grain and food and livestock from Keilah. That was kind of normal. That often happened in these days back here, where there'd be raids and your livelihood was taken from you, and you were destitute. And so David protected Nabal and his property and his men. So David sends 10 guys to Nabal and asks for some help, provisions for his group. And Nabal kind of insults him. Who is David? Who is Jesse's son? And he's just rude and harsh and evil with David's men. They come back and tell David what happened. And David says, strap on your swords. We're going to go and get them. And David intended to kill all the men, Nabal on down, all the servants. That was his intention. One of the servants went and found Abigail, the wife there, and said what was happening. David sent men to greet Nabal, and he hurled insults at the men. These men have been very good to us. They never mistreated us. They were a protection to us. We never lost anything. They never took anything. You need to do something, Abigail, because if you don't, the disaster is about ready to come on us. And so she didn't lose time. She got food. She got put food on donkeys. Sent servants out towards David to meet him. And by her actions and grace, she averted a disaster from taking place. We'll mention a little bit more about this a little later here, but so there's a situation there too. So out of all these difficulties, and there are more, you'll have to read them yourself, all these difficulties, generally speaking, David responded rightly. Responded in a good way, and he sought the Lord in the process. Difficult situations and various tests in the journey can build godly character in us, and will do that. And they did that in David's life. This next part here is, as I was studying all these chapters, I saw there were six things that kind of stood out, and I titled this section Six Necessities to Grow in Difficult Times. And actually I made a one sheet here that of just this section of the six necessities. If you want to grow during difficult times, you need all six of these. to grow in the process. The first one, close and trusted fellowship with a believer of like precious faith. That was Jonathan, Saul's son. And the scriptures are listed up there. David and Jonathan had a trusted fellowship with one another. Fellowship is a partnership, it's a sharing, it's a communion with one another. It's a sharing of what we have in common with Jesus Christ. And it's a fellowship with three participants. It's you, me, and Jesus. When we are going through a struggle, a hard time, we need fellowship. We need a trusted person to walk with us. That's a necessity during the difficult times. The second thing here is allow spiritual leadership to affirm with moral, spiritual, and relational guidance during troubling and uncertain times. That person was Samuel, the prophet. During uncertain times, we need a trusted source for spiritual guidance. David was never taken out of his situation, his circumstances. How often have we prayed, Lord, take me out of this difficult situation? God never took David out of any of that. But there was a man, the prophet was there, and he gave David the truth. What we need during a time of difficulty, we need the truth. It's truth that sets us free, not our circumstances per se. And so we need a person to speak the truth to us. That's critical during a difficult time. It's a necessity to have that. So you need to get under spiritual leadership during a time of difficulty. The third thing here I saw is God is sovereign. He calls and grace gifts people. When God calls, he makes a good decision. A person called in grace gift may not always walk worthy of the calling God has given. And that's Saul's case. The individual becomes resistant, fleshly, bitter, and will not receive correction. This is not God's will for that person. However, that individual is still called and grace gifted by God, even though he or she may not be at the level of that calling or gifting. So it's kind of hard to understand that, but God has called them, and he's made a good decision. It isn't God's fault that has happened. It's the person. God is sovereign. Let God deal with that situation. If they're resistant, if they don't receive correction, God will deal with it in his time. For us, going through a difficult time, we need to realize God is sovereign. He's sovereign over your life and my life. We need to just trust him with our lives. He's in charge. Let him be in charge. And surrender to him. Submit to him. Follow him. He's sovereign. The fourth thing I see here is a prayer for encouragement, guidance, knowledge, and wisdom gives open communication with God and direction in his purposes for one's life. Facing trials is a test of faith. During the times of trial, we may need wisdom from God to proceed through the test. God gives wisdom generously as we pray for it. The fifth thing here is develop a tender heart. And David certainly had that the Lord can communicate to by teaching, guiding, affirming, correcting, rebuking, and training in life and service. David had a tender heart. Respect for God and the things of God help us develop a tender heart towards God. And the sixth thing here is with a humble, receptive attitude, heart, I should say, receive wisdom for life and service. And the person here is Abigail. Without a humble attitude, the knowledge and wisdom needed for life can be missed if you were not receptive to it. Abigail spoke wisdom into David's life as he was approaching to kill every male. Abigail realized that that would not only be a negative to all the innocent men under Nabal, but it would haunt him in his as he became king in Israel. And it would be something that would go beyond that day. And so she spoke wisdom into his heart, and he heard it. He received it. And he stopped. And God dealt with that situation. So have a receptive heart. David had served God's purpose in his own generation. Difficulties are normal in life. Is there anyone that disagrees here? I wish I could say that walking with Jesus, there's no problems or struggles, difficulties. I'm sorry, I cannot say that. The heart is forged in a furnace of struggle and difficulties, stress and challenge. The heat from difficult experiences creates different outcomes in different people. Our attitudes and reactions and spoken words reflect where our heart is. Serving God's purpose in our generation, as David did in his, will not be a path of promotions or blessings. Our path may be similar to David's path, one of challenges and difficulties. Spiritual growth, I've seen this over the years, and you probably say amen to it when I say this. Spiritual growth generally does not happen during times of blessing and ease. It's during the stress. And we don't see it at the time. But after we look back, you know, God was doing something there in my life. And it's when we get tested. It happens when we walk by faith. We trust in God. God, help me. Walking by faith often means that we're going through something we haven't been through before. I haven't taken this way before. I haven't been in this problem before. I haven't had these difficulties before. It's something new. It's something where we have to hold on to God with white knuckles. And hold on to his promises with white knuckles. I can recall years ago there was a woman in the church we were in. She was going through a super stressful time. And she carried her Bible like this. And she'd open it up and she'd read. I mean, she was so stressed. She said months later that if I didn't have that God's word, I wouldn't have made it. We need the truth. We need God. We need to trust in him. God wants us to be a person after his own heart. In Acts 13, it says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. David only made this journey because his heart was a heart after God's heart. If he didn't have that, Saul would have killed him. As I was studying it, now if David didn't have that, what would have happened? He would have died. He wouldn't have made it. There comes a protection, there comes a peace with God, there comes a blessing in the midst of the storm when we have a heart after God's heart. And as we seek his heart, God can change us. We can grow into the character of Christ. We are invited to come through even in difficult and uncertain times. we can be like Jesus. We can grow to be like him. As I was reading all the different scriptures that really apply to this, there are five psalms that were written specifically during the trials of this period in these 12 chapters. Psalm 52, Psalm 54, Psalm 56, Psalm 57, Psalm 59. And I would like to close off by reading Psalm 57 here today. The setting is David is in flight. He's fleeing from Saul. He's in a cave. And there's two instances where he's in a cave. The first one is in 1 Samuel chapter 22, the cave in Adullam, where the three D's come in, the guys. And the next one is in En-Gedi in 1 Samuel 24. David actually, his men are far back in the cave. Saul comes in to relieve himself. As he's doing that, David sneaks up on him, takes his knife, cuts part of corner of Saul's robe off. He could have killed him if he wanted to, but he didn't. He didn't want to touch God's anointed. And so it's one of those two instances. Maybe it's both. In both cases, David is a fugitive running for his life. I want to read this to you. You might want to follow along, or you might want to just close your eyes and just listen. Psalm 57. It says this. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, of Michtam, when he fled from Saul into the cave. Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. He sends from heaven and saves me. He rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And that glory be over on us, too. Let me pray for you. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that in the midst of troubles, difficulties, and struggles, uncertain times, you never leave us, you never forsake us. But you're with us. Lord, help us by faith walk with you. Help us hold on to you and your promises for our life. Help us one step at a time. Help us to take that step that you have given us to take. And Lord, give your people a heart after your heart. And help us long and desire for you, even when we're in the midst of a storm or there's difficulties around. Lord, I just thank you and praise you. You don't forsake us. You don't leave us. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless.